I call this February 10th, 2016 Plan Commission meeting to order. I am Chairman Harker. I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. Roll call, please.
Yes. Crouch is absent. Juarez?
Here.
Gomerini?
Here.
Goins?
Here.
Kropner?
Here.
Vineyard?
Here.
And Harker?
Here. May I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from January 13, 2016 Plan Commission meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Do we have any questions or amendments to the minutes? Seeing there are none, can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Second.
Okay. Awesome. Alrighty, moving on here to the citizen comments. Are there any citizens here present tonight that would like to comment about something other than what's on tonight's agenda? All right. Seeing there is none, I'd like to go into. Can I get a motion to go into the public hearing?
So, are we going to vote on the approval of the minutes?
We just did that, didn't we?
No, we just made a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roll call then on that motion, please. Thanks, Chuck.
Juarez?
Yes.
Gomerini?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Kropner?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Crouch, I'm sorry, is absent. And Harker?
Yes. All righty. Now going into the public hearing section. Can I get a motion to open the public hearing portion of the meeting?
Motion. Second.
Awesome. All right, tonight, public hearing, there are two items to be heard. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding the proposed requests that are being considered before the commission tonight. Public testimony from persons present who wish to speak may be in favor or against the requests or have questions for the petitioners regarding the requests being heard. All those people who would like to testify tonight, please speak clearly one at a time. State your name, who you represent, if anyone, and you're asked to sign in at the podium if you haven't already. Those who wish to speak at tonight's hearing, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I, state your name.
I
do solemnly swear. The testimony that I'm about to give tonight is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you. Okay. So the way we're going to hear the go through the public hearings, we'll start with the first one here. The order that we're going to take the testimony is we're going to hear from the petitioner first, and then everybody that's in favor of that request, those who are opposing the request, and then any questions from the Plan Commission. May I have a motion to open the public hearing on petition number PC? Actually, I'm going to do both. I'm just going to open them both up at the same time here. So, can I get a motion to open the public hearing on petition numbers PC 2016-02? Which is the Law Office Corporation petitioner has filed applications with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, requesting special use permit approval for a proposed tavern, nightclub, or lounge in an existing building zoned within B2 Retail Commercial Business District pursuant to Chapter 6, Table 10.06.03 of the Yorkville Zoning Ordinance. The real property is located at 226 South Bridge Street in Yorkville, Illinois. The second is PC 2016-03. Unified Faith in Christ Church petitioner has filed an application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting a special use permit approval for a small religious institution that is defined in Section 10-2-3 of the Yorkville Zoning Ordinance. As having less than 400 seats and 8,000 square feet of floor area in an existing building zoned within an M1 limited manufacturing district pursuant to Chapter 6, Table 10.06.02 of the Yorkville Zoning Ordinance. The real property is located at 210 Beaver Street, Unit A, in Yorkville, Illinois. Okay. Okay, can we get a motion to...
So moved. Second.
Awesome. Can I get a roll call and vote, please?
Yes. Goins?
Yes.
Kropner?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Jerez?
Yes.
Gomerini?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes. Okay. So let's start with PC 2016-02, the Law Office Corporation.
Thanks for hearing me tonight. Thank you for joining us here on behalf of citizen comments on my petition. I won't be long. The reason we're here is we're required to apply for special use because the business that we're opening is not going to actually be preparing food in our location. We decided that the space constraints that we had, we felt it better to utilize some of the existing businesses in downtown to be able to provide food for our establishments. We're working with Rowdy's, and we'll probably have some sort of arrangement with Rosati's that they can deliver pizzas into the establishment. But since we're not preparing food on site, technically a special use under the existing zoning ordinance. So hence the process of the special use public hearing. A little bit of background. The building that we're in the process of developing has been in our family for about 35 years. It was our law practice up until fall of 2013, when the 47 expansion kind of destroyed all the sidewalks in front of all the businesses down there. So we actually had interest in a building next to the courthouse, and our long-term plan was eventually to move our practice to that location, which is a lot more conducive to our practice anyway. So we did that. The building was vacant. As you might know, I'm involved with the Summer Solstice Festival, which we've done a lot of music with, a lot of work with independent music and craft beer in the local area. I saw this as an opportunity to utilize that space to have a year-round facility to showcase both craft beer and also to work with a lot of independent music to build an attraction that's going to attract musicians from all across the country that would like to come to Yorkville to play. Hopefully build up a following where we'll attract a lot of people from outside the community to come into Yorkville. Hopefully stand as with the existing businesses to really start building up the downtown. We feel it's the project has a lot of merit. We'd ask that you approve the special use. I can answer any questions that anyone has regarding the project or any questions that staff did a really good job in their report. Addressing any of the legal issues that involve with the special use.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, just real quick, sir.
Sure.
Just state your name. State your name for the record.
Boyd Ingemundson, and I got a sign in here too.
Anybody present that would like to speak in favor of this request? Seeing none. Anybody here that would like to speak opposed to this request? Come on, ma'am.
Stacy Hazlett on behalf of Bridge Street Plaza at 101 South Bridge Street. Our concerns are, when we asked about the intended use, it was supposed to be an upscale microbrewery type of an establishment, but then there was the disclaimer that, of course, that relies on the type of clientele that comes. Now, from our perspective as business owners, if we want a high-class establishment, we're not going to say, well, that depends on who wants to come into our establishment. We're going to set rules and regulations such that we maintain a level of clientele as we want to have. Beyond that, I've come to previous meetings where the public happens to be absent from this time, and I'd like to call into the record those meetings where they didn't want the noise that would be coming from additional public venues where we have additional parking issues, where we have additional noise issues, that the water, if we have music venues, that that's going to be bouncing off of the river, and what time is the music going to stop playing because the residents want to sleep. As you recall, these were all issues at previous council meetings, and I think that they need to be seriously considered. Beyond the fact that this is just a liquor establishment, how many Yorkville liquor licenses do we want to establish for just the primary purpose of serving alcohol? Most of the establishments existing in Yorkville already have a multi-purpose. They serve gasoline, or they provide food pantry, or not pantry, food service, or whether it's grocery store or you're eating in there. It seems dangerous to have a liquor license for an establishment that only offers alcohol and perhaps might make a relationship with Rowdy's or might make a relationship with Rosati's, which isn't established at this point. Not to mention that people probably shouldn't be drinking without some, like, how long should they be drinking in the establishment without taking a break and having something else to offer besides alcohol? It just doesn't seem prudent based on the other objections of that has been raised at past meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, would you?
Staff report has a lot of information in regards to the standards, such as parking and traffic, noise, and adequate utilities, and other establishments that have liquor licenses. This is not the Liquor Commission, so tonight we're only considering the special use. There will be another process for the liquor licensing portion of it. This is the only property that is seeking a special use just to serve alcohol only, and that's why it is a special use in our zoning ordinance, so that we can have this public forum to address. As far as parking, the required parking for the former law office use was three parking spaces for the entire establishment, which they met with their on-street parking prior to the widening of 47. With the current use, they would be required to have four parking spaces. That is accommodated with the common city parking lot behind the development. There's also another city lot down the street, and our zoning ordinance allows that parking can be within 1,000 feet of the use to consider it as available parking, so it meets that standard. Let's see. So there's 20 parking stalls on the parking the established parking in the southeast corner of South Main Street and Van Emmon, and then their on-street parking on Van Emmon as well as parking in the rear. So they adequately meet the parking availability. As far as noise, the noise ordinance, which is in Section 4 of the Municipal Code, which deals with the police section, uses of commercial in nature have a maximum decibel level of 70 during the day, and daytime hours are 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., and then no more than 55 decibels in any receiving residential land during the nighttime between 10:01 and 6:59. So the nearest residentially zoned and occupied property to this building is located about 350 feet away to the east at the southwest corner of East Van Emmon and Houston Street. The city is, however, in the process of reviewing and possibly revising our noise ordinance to take into consideration not only sound but vibration. We've had other issues at other establishments in regards to that. And if those regulations are revised at any time, the proposed business owner, on the proposed business, would be required to meet those requirements. And they stated to us that they are more than willing and capable of meeting those requirements. The proposed use is consistent with our comprehensive plan, which is a commercial land use in nature. And as far as other establishments, I've listed all the establishments that have liquor licenses and serve liquor in some capacity within the city. Right now we have 9 that have a Class A or a Class A1, R1, C, B, G, and A, which have all designations depending on what type of alcohol they're selling, packaged or whatever. All of them meet the zoning requirements as either a restaurant, another type of land use, but not strictly a tavern, which this establishment is requesting. So they did not have to go through this process. As far as the clientele of the establishment, the zoning does not regulate that. We regulate in our, my department, particularly is the form of the building, make sure that it's safe to inhabit, that it meets all the code criteria, and that it's an appropriate land use. So in regards to clientele, that's not the role of this committee.
Excellent. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody up here on the commission have any questions for the petitioner?
I do. Gotcha. So the three main questions, right? The first one talks in particular about towards the clientele, right? First of all, I want you to understand, I am all in favor of new businesses coming in and saying, but I understand your concern. So I'd like to understand your marketing plan. Who's your target audience and how are you going to do that? Right? That's a really good to understand what segment of your demographic are you going for?
Well, I'm really targeting probably 30 to 70-year-olds. The same type of kind of market that we're targeting with the music that we present at our festival. That tends to be the demographic that lives in this area, and that's the one I'm targeting first and foremost, is the local community. I think that there's, especially in the suburbs, there's really not any sort of offering for the type of music we're going to provide. I'm not interested in having metal bands or hip-hop or anything like that. I mean, it's Americana music. It's usually mainly easy listening. I want to go to a place with friends that I am friends with and people that I target as consumers or people that kind of would, I guess, fall along the lines of my, I guess, likes and dislikes. So that's who I'd be marketing towards.
Sure. Okay, so I think probably we need to make sure we have a good understanding of what the marketing plan is, right? I understand what your assimilation group is and what you're trying to do there, but let me understand. I heard the word microbrewery. Are you trying to make a microbrewery?
That's a misconception that starts when newspapers report the wrong thing. I never represented anyone that we're going to do a brewery in that establishment, ever. The Beacon News, as we know, sometimes doesn't necessarily get the facts correct, and they reported that incorrectly. So that's been never represented that I was going to do that type of use there. There's not enough room in there to house a brewery. We deconstructed the existing law office. I'm utilizing a lot of the same decor from the existing law office into the new development and the build-out. It's going to be, if it's a place that I'm going to put my reputation on, it's going to be geared towards middle-income to upper-middle-income people.
Okay.
I can guarantee you that.
Okay, the second part of my question has to do with your proposed arrangement with the downtown restaurants, right? Which A, or local businesses, I like that. I like seeing cooperation with other local businesses. Well, my question is are you going to inventory some of that food on site, or is it all going to be ordered and brought in as the customers order?
Typically, what we're probably going to do is similar to if you've been to World of Beers up in Naperville, they have menus there that people can order food in. And they just order literally the establishments, they deliver the food here. That's one option. Rowdy's being in close proximity, we've already discussed with them having an actual menu on site with a limited, not their full menu, but a limited amount of offerings that would be easy to eat, finger food, nothing that would take utensils or anything else, but they could package it in some sort of package and just run it up the street. how we convey those orders from the customer to Rowdy's. We have not actually figured out all the logistics of that yet, but I mean, that's what we're talking about now.
Well, there's a pending agreement in place with Rowdy's?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're definitely more than happy to provide that for us, and we're more than happy to have them provide it for us. I mean, they definitely want to do it. We want them to do it.
Okay. I mean, I'm just concerned because I really want to make sure that there's food available.
And I plan on, I'm a big fan of having kind of a throwback of having peanuts around. People throw peanuts on the floor. That's something you can do easily. And I agree. I want, as a business owner, I think having food be available, whether they order it or it could be brought off the street, definitely is an attraction for people. People don't go out typically just to go out and drink. People tend to go out, they have some food. Now, our shows that we're going to be offering, people will go and they will have dinner across the street, or they'll have dinner down at Rowdy's, and they may come to our place after they have dinner too. And so I don't necessarily see it as a place people are just going to come and skip dinner. And that's not, I don't typically see that people that we're targeting are going to be that irresponsible.
Okay. And then my final question is around your entertainment, right? Is your entertainment venue going to be, you already said the type of your, is it going to be inside, or are you planning to use any of the outside?
No, it's all indoors.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing that we would consider possibly doing on a very limited basis, but it's very, very early stages, is in conjunction with our Summer Solstice Festival. We obviously are working with all the business owners to provide outdoor entertainment as well as indoor entertainment in all the establishments downtown. I thought in the long run, potentially of having some outdoor entertainment around our business, but that's very, very early stages. I mean, we're not planning on doing that this year at all. It would be something that would be down the road, and that would be something that would clearly be a different issue that we worked out with the city independently.
Okay. Sorry, one follow-up. It's up before. I'm looking at the picture. The main entrance to the venue will be off of Bridge Street or off of Van Ham?
Van Ham.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of interesting because...
Yeah, that's a little risky there.
Well, yeah, it's a state-wide road, and literally 4.5 feet from my stoop is a speeding semi with no guardrail.
Right.
It's rather dangerous than you utilize.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah. I looked at, that's what I was looking at.
No, I do not. That is going to be an emergency exit only. I mean, it's very dangerous there. I mean, I keep everyone off of, and I think that's the trend for most of the businesses on the east side and the west side, is to utilize the east side of the buildings.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, just out of curiosity, you have the, your layout here of what you're looking at putting in. Where is the music? Where is the stage?
The stage is on the Route 47. On the
it's along the back wall,
yeah,
where your emergency door would be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
It wasn't getting there. Sure. Thanks.
No further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, let's just look at it. I'm just trying to find it again. All right, moving on to the next public hearing here, which is PC 2016-03, Unified Faith in Christ Church. Come on.
Good evening. I am Pastor Will Shore of Unified Faith in Christ Church. What we are proposing is to, as a location of 210 Beaver Street, to be zoned for special use. I know probably the question is why there, and why Yorkville, and those type of questions. And the reason we came upon this location is our church currently is in Downers Grove, and we share that with another church building. And after numerous years of doing that, we finally made a decision that we need to have a place of our own, an opportunity to really serve in the community, to be able to establish ministries within the church, such as Sunday school classes, and so forth. And our congregation which is a little bit strange. It's scattered all over the place. We have people as far as the cow traveling to Downers Grove and from others, some of the other surrounding communities. And this seemed to be a little bit more centralized for our congregation to gather. The facility, when we came upon at first look from the outside, we thought it's simply a warehouse. But once we entered the unit, you would probably see that from the floor plan, the unit is set up more with offices. There is one room, a large room, not quite the size of this, that would be a gathering place for worship. But because of the classrooms, it was ideal for us to be able to hold our Sunday school classes, to have a little kids zone for children to be able to play with, to set up a nursery and so forth. It is actually ideal set up for us as a church. And it would allow us to get settled into a community where we can really participate. And one of the things I want to tell you about our church is, one, we are a benevolent church, and we are a church that does like to get involved in the community. Come Christmas, you'll find us at the local Aldi's buying groceries for unsuspecting shoppers. We like to do things, picnics and so forth. Not obviously is it a place for a picnic, but you have parks where we could gather and do things of that nature. So this place was just simply ideal as far as location, setup, and even the cost of it. We are a small congregation, so cost obviously was a consideration too. So if you have any questions whatsoever, I'd be more than happy to answer those. Any concerns?
All right, thank you. Is there anybody present tonight that would like to speak in favor of this request? Seeing none. Anybody here that would like to speak in opposition of this request? Seeing none. Any questions from the plan commissioners? Seeing none. All right, thank you. Can I have a motion to close out of the public hearing portion of this tonight's meeting? Okay. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes. Galmarini?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Kropner?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Horez?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes. Okay. Okay. So let's go back to the first. I should do the business. Skip it. Okay. Just going back here to the first one here, the Law Office Corporation. Do you guys have any other questions we're going to talk about? Let's go over the criteria for it.
Yeah.
All right. The establishment, maintenance, and operation of the special use will not be unreasonably detrimental or endanger the public health, safety, morals, comfort, or general welfare. Anybody see a problem with that? Not going to infringe upon that. The special use will not be injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish and impair the property values within the neighborhood in which it is located. Have you seen
any problem?
Nope.
Can I ask everything
else? Awesome. The establishment of the special use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of the surrounding property for the uses permitted in the district. Don't see a problem there. Adequate utilities, access road, drainage, and other necessary facilities have been or are being provided. Yes. Adequate measurements have been or will be taken to provide ingress and egress so designed as to minimize the traffic congestion in public streets.
So what else could be expected, I guess, for that corner?
Right, right. And then the proposed special use is not contrary to the objectives of the official comprehensive plan of the city as amended. You see that as a problem either, right? Awesome.
The applicant has provided their written responses to those standards, which I'm sure you reviewed in your packet. Would you like them entered into the record?
Yes, please.
Excellent. All righty. Can I get a motion to approve the request?
So moved.
Okay. Did you read it?
Yep.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on February 10, 2016, and discussions of the findings of fact, the Plan Commission recommends approval to the City Council, a request for special use authorization for the operation of a proposed bar tavern with live music within an existing building zoned in the B2 General Business District, located at 226 South Bridge Street, and further subject to,
I think they've met all our requirements.
Yes. Awesome.
Thanks.
Roll call and vote, please.
Yes. Kropner?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Horace?
Yes.
Galmarini?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes. Approved. Awesome. All righty. Let's move on to the second one here. PC 2016-03 Unified Faith in Christ Church. You guys have any questions, comments, concerns, problems?
The only concern I would have to do with the parking, but I think it's been discussed and
addressed. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The field here, so.
Yeah, with that being brought up, you know, the staff comments had. Are you guys in agreement with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. And the thing that I liked about it was, if you want to be immersed in the community, you couldn't have picked a closer spot to do it, because the food pantry is right next to you, so that's a great opportunity for you guys. Let's go through the criteria. We can do it every single one like that. Okay. Okay. The establishment, maintenance, and operation of the special use will not be unreasonably detrimental to or endanger the public health, safety, morals, comfort, and general well-being. General welfare. Anybody see that? That's good, right? Okay. The special use will not be injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish or impair the property values within the neighborhood in which it is located. Problems? All good? Okay. The establishment of the special use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of the surrounding property for the uses permitted in the district. Good? It's going to be there. They're going to be there on Sunday. And they're going to be there Wednesday. I see that's not going to impede anything. Do you see they're going to impede something there?
No, it's just the manufacturing.
Well, I think the entire building currently is empty. And they're going to be there. Their strong day is going to be on Sunday. So. All right. Adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, and other facilities have been or are being provided. Yes? Adequate measurements have been or will be taken to provide ingress and egress so as to minimize traffic congestion in public streets. Don't see that as a problem. And the proposed special use is not contrary to the objectives of the official comprehensive plan of the city as amended. Correct? I don't think so either. Okay. Okay, may I have a motion to approve the request PC 2016-03? Would you please read it, Regan?
Presented during a public hearing on February 10, 2016, and discussions conducted at that meeting, the Plan Commission recommends approval to the City Council, a request for special use approval for a small religious institution that is defined in Section 10-2-3 of the Yorkville Zoning Ordinance as having less than 400 seats and 8,000 square feet of floor area in an existing building zoned within the M1 Limited Manufacturing District, pursuant to Chapter 6, Table 10.06.02 of the Yorkville Zoning Ordinance, located at 210 Beaver Street, Unit A, subject to staff recommendations and conditions in a memo dated February 3rd, 2016.
Awesome.
Second.
Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Horace?
Present.
Galmarini?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Kropner?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes. Excellent. All right. Additional business?
Yes.
Steph?
All right. The items that were heard at the January 26th Plan Commission did move their way to City Council. The first was the GC Housing Development for their rezoning for age-targeted senior living facility. The petition was discussed last night at the City Council meeting. It was tabled for another 2 weeks. We will not have a final determination until February 23rd.
They're going to do their petition to the state.
They're still fine. It's going to be tight for them, but they have until February
29th. Right.
So, thank goodness for the leap year, so they got an extra day. But yes, it will be tight for them, but they do need a final recommendation at that City Council meeting. Then the Kendall County petition, no additional comments were generated. And so, we forwarded it along.
Awesome. All right, so for 2015, we had a year in review. As you can see, we had about 14 applications come through staff and then come to you guys. We ended up with five that actually went through. So we had a lot of petitions that were withdrawn and then so on. What we want to discuss with you is two things. One is last night's City Council meeting, there was a Plan Commission membership revision. So currently we have 9 members. We've been operating on about 7 since October. We had 2 members that resigned. And we felt it was just best to amend the criteria to 7 members to be consistent with our ZBA and with other communities in the area. So that ordinance passed last night. If you recall, we even talked about it here before we went forward with it. So it passed. So our membership is now 7 members to the Plan Commission. We're losing another Plan Commission member. So there will be a spot open. But now our criteria for having a quorum has been lessened, which makes it a lot easier for us to maneuver if one or two people are going to be missing. There was a comment that came up about possibly combining ZBA and Plan Commission. Is that something that staff has no... We haven't researched it enough to see where we are or how we feel about that. Both Chris and I have worked in communities that had both a ZBA and a Plan Commission and had only one body that reviews it. State only requires that you have a body, a committee or commission, hold public hearings before you recommend certain types of land use changes or special uses to City Council. So as it stands, there's no requirement to have both boards, but both boards serve different functions. So we're just trying to get some input on
places where they have it combined, what was the population of the city?
Well, I worked in Lincolnshire, so that population was about 16,000.
Isn't Oswego doing this?
Oswego is in the process of doing that. And so there were some benefits to having the process, the two commissions combined. It was more efficient to get through projects instead of having someone wait 1 week to go to ZBA and then the second week to go to Plan Commission. It was a one-shot opportunity. It cut down about a week or two from the review process. Or could cut down more depending if one committee didn't have a quorum. So it went to one committee and then it would extend another month because another committee didn't have a quorum. So.
Yeah, I worked in Aurora and they actually did combine them. Due to the fact that there's ZBA that maybe once or twice a year, I mean, maybe you can attest it's.
This is a busy year for ZBA.
This one has, yes, but yeah. Typically ZBA cases are few and far between. So, again, combining those two would make it a little bit especially for petitioners.
Forgive my ignorance, but is the ZBA also an advisory board to the city council?
Both, plan commission and ZBA. The difference between how the city has set up the ZBA, some actions of the ZBA are final. Those are called authorized variations, and there's about seven. Whereas plan commission holds the distinct ability of reviewing all land use plans. So the comprehensive plan, which we're going to talk about, that's under your authority, as well as other types of plans that require a special use, ZBA, a text amendment, a rezoning, that's under the purview of the plan commission. So we have to talk with the city attorney and see when it comes to the plan commission, if we combine it into a one plan, one body, some of those authorized variations may or may not be available. It would just all be a recommending by your plan commission going to city council. So I'm just looking for feedback. We haven't decided or maybe.
How would this work among members?
Well, we have seven members on ZBA. We have one redundant member, which would be Regan. She's on both boards. We have
seven positions available in ZBA. I don't think they're all full.
Yeah, they're all full.
There's certain members.
Right,
there.
We would have six members, so it would have probably been an easier shift if we would have kept the number at nine. But just something to think about. It doesn't have to happen this year. And just maybe if you know of communities that have combined in the recent, Oswego was one. I think Plainfield has a combined board.
And how did they do that? I mean, did you call them and ask them how that worked? If they
sure.
Bigger?
No, I'm not aware of them making the committees bigger because it's still seven members. What I know what happens is that you have to have an ordinance getting rid of or abolishing one of the commissions, and probably ZBA. And then you have to rewrite the standards of what the plan commission's duties and responsibilities are. And that would all happen on an administrative level, and it would go through city council for approval. But so that wouldn't come through plan commission, because it's not a text amendment to the zoning ordinance, it's an amendment to the municipal code. So that's the process to that. You would have a say, I guess, in some things, but most of them are already established through state statute of what your duties are. Something to think about.
Seems like it'd be a cost savings for the city.
It would streamline.
I mean, because don't you have to do a big packet for the ZBA as well?
Yeah, we do. I mean, and a lot of the same issues, aside from signs, you both see the same petitions for the most part. But there's also the flip side. You have a different set of eyes, a different set of perspectives. So.
Sometimes projects need to be slowed down.
Or seen by a different body for a different perspective. So if you have any comments, you don't want to provide them tonight, you can always email us at any time, do some research. Yeah, and come back.
Not everyone does.
So that's just one of the items. And the other one that we talked about was we did have four text amendments that address the areas of the zoning ordinance that need to be updated. And then the comprehensive plan, we're moving forward with that possibly being done by this summer.
Yes. We're working on establishing our next community speak outs, which hopefully should happen in March, April. The final draft being presented to you for public hearing in June or July. So.
Yeah. So although there's a steering committee, which helps give feedback to the consultant, the plan commission will be the body that makes the formal recommendation to the city council. So we'll be looking forward to you guys' opinions and direction on that. What will come out of the comprehensive plan update is changes to the zoning ordinance. Commons, which we've updated, we've really cleaned it up a lot, but there's possibly going to be new chapters added, some changes, just based off of what we're getting feedback and the direction of the city from the comprehensive plan. So be prepared for some text amendments within the next year or so.
That's it.
I don't
know.
Projects we've approved, and they start the senior development.
You're referring to Meadows. Yeah, Heartland Meadows. No, they have not. They have not reported their final plat. My understanding is that they are waiting for another project that they are working on in another area to finish to free up capital for them to start the construction of that property.
Because it is senior.
Yes, it's a different product, the single family detached product. So a little bit, they're going to own it and they're going to maintain the home itself, even though some of the other things will be maintained, the outside, but the inside that we use to maintain.
Smaller lots.
Is that Fremont?
Yeah, Jackson and
Fremont. Do you know where Heidi's Spot Park is?
Is it kind of kitty corner from the church? That open field right there?
Yeah, kitty corner from the
church. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And then the
Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, the Dunkin' Donuts. So that's another one. Have been in touch with them. They're ready to move. However, with the development agreement, because we amended the PUD, Car Care Collision, which is now Service King, had to sign off on an agreement. But since their switch over to Service King either being bought out or merged with, they have not been communicating with the developer. So that's hurting their timeline. So the city, we're going to do what we can to help that move along and progress. Because they do, for their development agreement, have to commence construction by March 1st in order to receive the funds of, the sales tax rebate. So we're going to do everything that we can.
Yeah, I like to see when we approve things that they get going.
Yeah, and they do too, and they could have been going a long time ago. It's that one hiccup, and Car Care Collision was not very cooperative with the city either in finishing out punch list items. So we had to really... So the south side?
Fountain View, yeah.
There's a car, there's a salt bar on there. And then a car
place. Mm-hmm.
It's in that
block,
right?
Yeah.
So, right
for the car place.
No, their business, Car Care Collision, merged or was bought out by another company called Service King. So, they're going to stay there, but they're now the name.
There is a Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, the Dunkin' Donuts.
It's going in front.
It's going to go in front. So, the lot that's
it's
close.
Second one.
Yeah.
It's a second one. Kind of business.
Yeah, yeah, there's one on the north side.
It's going to cross the river to get a Dunkin'.
Okay.
Right, so it's going to be Dunkin' Donuts and a gas station and a little inline convenience. Yeah. So we'll let you know when that gets moving too. We're kind of anxious.
And the original owners of Car Care Collision actually are not owners of Service King.
Right.
So it's like they were very cooperative and now it's different.
Yeah, it's a different.
It's one of those mergers and acquisitions.
But I think the agreement needed Car Care Collision
as
a bill
is it
gonna
more of a bigger problem now? Is it gonna cause some trouble that they won't make it?
Possibly. Yeah. I think the idea Car Care Collision is the one that needs to sign a document because that they were the owners at the time. I think maybe it's out of sight, out of mind kind of mentality for them, but
you're actually creating somebody's business. By your actions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sorry, the owners.
Yeah. Happens all the time. Happens every day. What's that? It happens every day. Anything else, guys?
No.
All right, seeing none, can I get a motion to adjourn? Second? That was quick. All those in favor, say hey. Aye. Nay. Meeting is adjourned at 7:49.